This is Thursday, January 8th, 2026. We are in Natick, Massachusetts, and this tape is part of the Morse Institute Library's continuing Veterans Oral History Project. My name is Maureen Sullivan, and we are privileged to have with us today Charles Jack. Welcome, Charlie.
Thank you.
May I ask when you were born?
January 30, 1943.
And where were you born?
Berlin, New Hampshire.
What community do you currently live in?
Natick.
Your marital status?
Married.
Do you have children?
Two sons.
And grandchildren?
Two grandchildren, one of each kind.
Very nice. So I understand, although you were born in Berlin, your family moved to Springfield.
Correct.
So tell us about living in Western Massachusetts growing up.
Well, I don't know, just like anybody growing up, it was where I lived. Moved around a bit in Springfield. Ended up in a part of Springfield which is not the nicest part of Springfield. Was in junior high school at ninth grade. Moved to Ludlow. And then finished my education in Ludlow.
Okay. And what about your parents? Did your dad serve in the military?
No, my father was an immigrant. Both my parents were immigrants.
Okay,
my father was an illegal.
Oh, dear.
He came over from, I don't know if he was born in Manchester, England, but grew up in Scotland, son of a minister, and came to Canada through Halifax, presumably to become a farmer. But he came into the United States and just stayed. Mm-hmm. My mother was born near Quebec City, was brought here. She was born in 1919, came here as an infant, was never declared. So she was an undocumented. I shouldn't be saying that these days.
Well, I know, that's okay. So what did your dad do for a living?
He was a salesman mostly.
Mm-hmm.
He did own a couple businesses during his tenure. Mm-hmm. And both of them failed, unfortunately.
All right, and you graduated from Ludlow High School.
Correct.
And what year?
1960.
And where and when did you enter the military?
To be specific, September 10th, 1960.
And what branch?
Air Force.
Why the Air Force?
All right, I had a little background here. Mm-hmm. As a you know, grade school, it was at a local church, and one of the church members was a pilot, and also a writer, because he wrote for the Springfield Republic, a thing called Connecticut Valley Airports. Mm-hmm. It took me up for my first airplane ride.
Cool.
And it made an impression. I really got interested in that. And then when I got to Ludlow, I joined the Civil Air Patrol, which of course is Air Force oriented, and so got more and more about airplanes. And of course, living in the shadow of Westover Air Force Base, there were always military airplanes flying around. So airplanes were my thing. And that pushed me towards Air Force.
You enlisted.
I did.
You did?
I couldn't find a job after high school. I was not targeted for college. So I said I might as well go in the military, and Air Force was the choice.
Okay. And where did you go for basic?
Lackland Air Force Base, Texas.
And was that your first trip outside of Massachusetts?
Pretty much, yes. If I went anywhere, it was before I could remember it.
So what was basic like?
It wasn't bad at all. The Civil Air Patrol gave me a good sense for what to expect, and for me it was easy. And the thing that I missed the most was sleep.
Yeah, who likes to get up at like 6 in the morning, right?
Yeah, right. And yeah.
So
you get used to it.
Okay. While you were undergoing basic training, were you doing any specialized training?
Not in basic.
Mm-hmm.
I might add that I went into basic training as an E2.
Okay.
So that gave me a little bit of a privilege. I was the right guard, which meant I got to be the first one into the dining hall. And also it accelerated my promotions throughout the rest of my time in the Air Force. And that was thanks to CAP.
Alrighty. So how long did basic last?
Maybe 6 weeks, I think.
Okay. And what happened after that?
I went to tech school in Amarillo, Texas, in mechanical, aircraft mechanic, multi-engine. So I had a choice when I signed up. They took tests and they said, take whatever you want. You scored well in all of them. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be near airplanes.
And what kind of aircraft were you working on?
After that, mm-hmm. I was assigned to a specific airplane. It was mm-hmm. a KC-135 research airplane. We had 22 PhD scientists attached to it and a lot of scientific gear. And in fact, the leader of the project was a German, former Nazi, brought over a project paperclip. Same group as Wernher von Braun.
Wow. So now this takes us into 1961.
Correct.
Okay. The new frontier is just about to launch.
Yes, indeed.
So tell us what happened.
Well, I mean, I got to my basic training. I got to my permanent duty station, which was in Bedford, Massachusetts, Hanscom Field. So after my in-processing, which I'll make one little footnote. You know, the in-processing, da-da-da-da-da-da, you do this and that. And, well, we have a credit union. You should put some money in a credit union. And I did, and I maxed that out. And that matters later mm-hmm. on. So when I got to my organization, they said, well, we have KC-135s, we have some C-130s. Which one would you like? Oh, I want to be on the KC-135. Okay. So I was on that same airplane for the rest of my tour, for the rest of my Air Force time. So I flew with it wherever it went, which is a lot of traveling. Did some very, very interesting things with that airplane, which I can get into a little bit later.
Okay. So tell us a little more about the KC-135. Was it a large plane, small plane?
So basically a 707.
Okay.
Four-engine jet. It was a tanker. It was number 14 built out of over 600. And they were delivered to Castle Air Force Base in California. They were the very first ones built. And Castle eventually said, give us some of the newer ones that don't have all the fixes. So those were typically repurposed. And this airplane was a repurposed airplane. Mm-hmm. We never used it as a tanker, which is its original purpose in life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of electronics equipment built into it. And again, the scientists attached to the airplane flew with it.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about life on board a KC-135. Where are some of the trips you took?
Okay, well, we traveled to South America often. Mm-hmm. The number one trip, the first trip that really had an impact was in 1961. Mm-hmm. We had just come back from South America, which we did many trips to, usually to Buenos Aires and Lima, Peru. And we were told, we'd put the airplane to bed, meaning close it up, you know, refuel it, et cetera. Wash your clothes, we're leaving in the morning. What? Mm. We're leaving in the morning. Where? Can't tell you. Okay. Next morning we got in, flew out, we landed in Bryce Norton, England. Okay. And again, we knew nothing. I knew nothing. We were actually flying missions off the coast of Norway. Our orders were keep the airplane in the air as long as you can. Okay, so we would put a fuel load on it, they'd go flying. Those of us who were ground people, as I was at the time, would go get some food, go to bed, be wakened up before we were ready to be airplanes in the pattern, come back. He's in the pattern, they're out there, they're checking for radio activity, then he'll be right in, turn it around, and off it go again. Eventually, a couple of us said, geez, can we just get on the airplane instead of this, give me a flight lunch. So I happened to be on the last flight we made, which at the time we saw a flash from the Soviet Union's hydrogen bomb, which at the time we had heard was 58 megatons. I have subsequently learned, because the Russians have actually made a video of it, that it was 50 megatons. And you can actually go online and see all about what this bomb was about. So we were monitoring it. Again, I didn't know anything of what we were doing at the time, but other than I saw this flash, and that was a flash from the biggest hydrogen bomb ever. So that was when we landed after the mission. We were told, there were three KC-135 research airplanes there on the ground. We were told we could go anywhere in Europe for 3 days crew rest, but, there's a but, our airplane was due for a major inspection, so we flew home. We didn't get to go to Europe. And then eventually I mentioned that we got a commendation that was originated by John F. Kennedy, mm-hmm. and we got a John F. Kennedy just basically thank you for Operation Speed Light, signed Jack. Then it goes to the chairman and the Joint Chief of Staffs and all the way down, till our base commander and our commander, and we all got medals, commendation medals, mm-hmm. and they held a parade for us, which I'm sure the rest of the guys didn't particularly care for that. So that was a really amazing experience as an 18-year-old that was memorable. And again, I didn't learn details of this until very recently. And what triggered that is I've been participating in the Sages and Seekers program. So I said, I should learn a little bit about what I did. Well, that's how I found out. Now, we were lucky. The airplane I was in did not fly close to the bombs. There was one airplane that was so radioactive, they had to scrap it when it came back. And I never heard what happened to the crew. So that was a major event, okay? Then a year later, the United States started doing bomb testing, and we were heavily involved in that. And we spent 2 months in Fiji, Nandi, Fiji. Mm-hmm. And the premise was there was a bomb going to be detonated for our project. It was going to be launched from a rocket outside the atmosphere and detonated. Well, they had set, the airplane would go fly. I was on the ground all the time. I never flew with the airplane for any of this. And the missile blew up on the launch pad, so we came back home. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they got the launch pad put back together back to Fiji. And one of the missions, the airplane was out flying, and the project people had a 40-foot van full of electronic equipment on the ground. And we were told, just outside the van, if you look at that notch in the mountains, we might see a flash. So I was inside the van, listening to the countdown, April weather. This is 10, 9, about 5, the few of us who were not actively doing anything, went out and looked, and the sky lit up like daylight. And it just, you could hear the jaws hitting the ground. It was just so incredible. And then as it died down, it had created an artificial aurora, and you could see it following the magnetic lines of field of the Earth going north to south, and it ended up kind of a maroon red as it faded. It took quite a while for it to fade. That was called Starfish Prime, if anybody wants to research it. not only did it light up the Pacific, it knocked out 6 satellites, including Telstar. And it knocked out 100 streetlights in Honolulu.
That's a distance.
But it was only 1.4 megatons. So that was the highlight of my, there's a couple of highlights of being in Fiji for 2 months. Second time I had a little motor scooter. I put it on the airplane to take it to Fiji. And the customs people went bananas and eventually had to get New Zealand insurance and make my own. Had my little motor scooter running around. And at one point on the airplane, I went back in the cockpit, in the cabin, sat on it because we were doing over 700 knots. I said, the world's fastest motor scooter. So anyway, continuing the Fiji thing, because it gets interesting still. When we were doing the big test, they had shut down all flights in the Pacific. And we knew there was a couple that came staying in the hotel. And the way we worked it, there were 5 of us assigned to the airplane to maintain it. And because it sat on the ground most of the time, one of us would have a day off. On my day off, I'm sitting at our hotel about a mile away from the airport, and you could actually see the airport from the hotel. I'm sitting there doing nothing. This bar is over there, the pool is over there, and I'm just sitting there. And this guy comes over and says, can I buy you a drink? And sat down. Didn't even give me a chance to say no. And started peppering me questions about one of the 3 airplanes on the ground. For about 20 minutes, asking really detailed questions. It was Walt Disney.
No way.
He and Lily were on the ground. And I mean, it's not probably part, but there's a subsequent, do it offline, I can give you the follow-up to that. But turns out that the airplane I was a 4-engine jet, and there were 2 4-engine propeller airplanes from Cape Cod. And he was interested at the time, I found this out much later, just as I did most of this, that he wanted to buy a used commercial airliner. That was the time Disney was buying up property in Florida. So he wanted transportation to and from. So anyhow, I could tell more about that, but that's not so much about me as it was about him.
A very interesting 2 months in Fiji. What happened next?
Well, mostly it went back to usually things we do. We went to Alaska many times. Went to Hawaii. I think somebody counted up 14 trips to Hawaii, to Hickam. So we flew a lot, and I would fly with the airplane, which was nice. Like I say, we did a lot of things, at my age, it was just an incredible experience. One fun experience I had was in Buenos Aires at the airport. And by the way, I drank at an early age, but on my 21st birthday, I was sitting with we would go to the bar, hotel bar, and I was sitting here and my 2 colleagues on either side, they were doubling and tripling my drink and I didn't know it. I remember going upstairs to our room up the marble staircase, which was moving at the time, and I didn't know I was getting drunk. It's the only time in my life I've ever been drunk. The next morning I felt reasonably okay, went out to the airplane, put on my helmet, oxygen, 100% oxygen, cleared me out. And the reason they knew it was my birthday was my mother had sent a telegram. Happy birthday, good grades. And I go, what? What's with the good grades? Never found out when I came home. She says, well, you took the college boards. You scored well. So that was the good grades. Now, the scientists on the airplane started coaching me to say, go to college. okay, that's why I got the college boards, and I applied to various colleges towards the end of my term, and end up going to UMass Amherst the day after I got discharged. And the money I put away in the credit union was my first 2 years of college. So I had jobs. I worked for a couple of professors doing programming. I was a mechanical engineering student, but I got involved with computers. And when I was a junior, I was running out of money. That was when the Vietnam era GI Bill got passed. And boy, was that a lifesaver. So I got out. That was the end of my 4 years in the Air Force. I can tell stories now. It served me well. I did a lot of things, met interesting people, like you say, Walt Disney. It matured me, really did. And I used that life's lesson in my Sages and Seekers conversations with a high school student, some of the things I learned as a result of that, you know, going in the Air Force at age 17. So the other thing I did, by the way, interestingly enough, during my course time in the Air Force, I learned to fly. I actually first soloed an airplane before that at age 16. And I soloed a car at age 17. So I've always liked aviation. I still do. Not part of my military stuff, but I go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin each year. This is the first year I haven't in 20 years, and meet aviation luminaries and what have you. So that's it. For me, the Air Force was a wonderful experience, in part because I knew what to expect in advance, and because I happened to fall into this unique situation here at Hanscom Field, 90 miles from home. I didn't go home regularly. I never had a car till I was in college. I had my little motor scooter.
As a little aside, being a fellow UMass grad, I know you attended UMass right before it expanded big time. What was campus like?
Well, I went in 64, mm-hmm. September 11th, 1964. There. I moved into Orchard Hill. Mm-hmm. But I applied to be a dorm counselor, and in my junior year became a dorm counselor, which gave me free room in Southwest. John Adams Upper.
The towers.
Yeah. And again, I'm getting away from the military aspect of it, but made friends with a young kid in the room next to me when I was a kid, and we used to go out for, and I remember him keep telling me that, you know, after we had been known each other for a while, a good kid, he says, yeah, my sister's coming up next year. And boy, she's so smart. Guess what? She's my wife.
Okay.
We'll be in February. We turn 56 years married.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you. Two of the best years of my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you left the Air Force. What rank did you have?
I was an E4. I made E4 in minimum grade, but I could not go to E5 unless I re-upped.
Ah.
So I topped out at E4.
Mm-hmm. And aside from the GI Bill, which was a lifesaver for you, have you taken advantage of other benefits through the VA?
No. I really have done very little. The VA really hasn't done much for me because I didn't know about it. I only met, what's his name? Peter. Oh, yeah, I have his card because...
Paul Carew.
I just met Paul Carew a couple of weeks ago for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it was because I had a question for him that he couldn't answer.
Okay. Excuse me. And did you receive any other medals or accommodations for your service, aside the ones you mentioned?
No, the one I mentioned and a good conduct medal. It was the only two I had.
All right. So have you any additional stories to relate?
In the Air Force? Well, we went to Hawaii all the time. And that's one of the reasons I had my motor scooter, because I would take it on the airplane. And we would land at Hickam and had my motor scooter. my wife and I have gone back to Hawaii several times. I regularly been to Hawaii. Again, I got a lot out of the Air Force. I knew what to deal with. There were no bad parts of it. I mean, what do you say, seeing hydrogen bombs? Well, okay, you could say that's not so good. But doing what I was told to do. And I tell other people in the military, you go where you're told to go, you do what you're told to do. That's the way it was. And because, again, I was prepped for it, it was an easy 4 years.
Okay. And what did you do after military life, after you graduated from UMass?
Okay. I worked 3 summers for a little company called Polaroid. And that helped get me my tuition and all that. And by the way, as a veteran, I got tuition for free. Okay, $100 a year. Okay, $100 a semester, got me tuition for free. The other thing I learned, having been in the Air Force, I was not anxious to move out of campus. I was not anxious to make my own meals, et cetera,
right.
et cetera. Oops, forget it. I learned that I always ate my whole time at UMass, I stayed in the dorm. Mm-hmm. That was because I was getting a free room. Mm-hmm. I also learned that a lot of the kids, freshmen, did not want to eat in the dining hall, and they would put their dining cards up for sale for cheap. So I wait a week, go to look at the bulletin boards and find one for an all. So I ate for $20 a semester, with a dining card. So that helped me get through. Mm-hmm. I did get a couple of scholarships, and when I finally, last semester, senior, I was really running out of money, so I got a loan for $600, and that was how much debt I was in when I got out of UMass. So I worked for Polaroid for three summers, and they hired me on full-time. And although my degree is mechanical engineering, I got involved with computers as a freshman, and that's really where I focused my career.
And how long did you work at Polaroid?
21 years.
Wow.
And then I went to several startups. The first one I went to, I didn't last long there because the company was dying. It was a start down. The premise of the company was not very, looking back, was not good. Then I went to a company called Genrad, which was a very fine company, I have to say. And socially opposite pole from Polaroid. Polaroid was very secretive, had a lot of spread out business, and all that, and you didn't tell anybody what you're doing. And then Genrad was just the opposite. It was like, wow. You shared what you were doing, et cetera. But it went under because the market under it changed. And then I went to a startup, and the ended up getting laid off there because it was a the right way to put it. I got the job by virtue of a friend who played volleyball, and I was doing the thing to do is contact friends and say, hey, what's going on? What do you know? And I got hired in there. That company went down because they had run out of money. The problem with the company was they kept changing the product, and we never finished it. We had top-tier beta sites for our telephone system. MIT, Fidelity Investments, IBM, several top-tier countries. But you run the checkbook down, and so got laid off. The guy that hired me, the original founders were 9 people. 8 of the 9 came from either GTE or Bell Labs. The 9th came from industry, telecommunications. He was the guy that hired me. And I was there as a quality manager. I got laid off. And he called me up maybe 3 months later. He said, Charlie, I've got some ideas, and we talked for about 3 hours. And finally I said, Wayne, you're way up in North Andover. I live in Natick, and you know how many hours I put in at Unify. And he says, well, if I get started, can I give you a call? So fine, So I had left Polaroid. This one guy at Polaroid heard I was out and tried to, and said, can I bring you back? He said, but I can't hire you permanently, but what I can do is hire you as a temp, not as a contractor, but as a temp. And then I'll put through the necessary paperwork and then get you permanent. So, okay, time went by, time went by, time went by. I'm sitting in my cubicle, the phone rings, it's just Wayne. He said, come up and talk with me. Okay, so I went up, but he had already hired the one position I would have wanted. So we agreed, it was nice, but he went public, sold the company for $1.92 billion. But you know what? It was the right decision at the time. And my boss at the time heard about it and he expedited getting me hired permanently. And then the division of the Polaroid that I was in got spun off as a separate company. And that was my last job. And when Polaroid went bankrupt, my company required material from Polaroid for our product, which was a high-end laser printer for the printing industry. And it used material from Polaroid, and so the company died. And at that point, retirement. So long story. Okay. I said you get me talking, I won't stop.
And how long have you been retired?
Almost 20 years.
20 years. And did you ever join any veterans organizations?
I did briefly. I don't even remember which one. But my sense was it was all about drinking. I'm not a drinker. Mm-hmm. My wife and I will occasionally have a glass of wine with a meal. And that's it. I'm mm-hmm. not a drinker.
Okay. So, Charlie, I know you've mentioned how important was it for you to serve in the military. Have you anything else to add to this interview before we wrap things up?
Relative to the military?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to grow up. Mm-hmm. And my younger son, or my older son, sorry, the one who went in the Navy, it helped him grow up. We had sent him to UMass and he didn't think he had to go to class, so he flunked out. Had some menial jobs. And then decided to go into the Navy, and he was going to go into the subservice. I went into the Navy, he made friends with people in the IT group, and he went into the IT group.
Mm-hmm.
And he was assigned, originally was assigned to a cruiser that was being decommissioned. He was part of the decommissioning crew. Then he went onto a what's called an LHA, which is an assault carrier, helicopter carrier. Mm-hmm. And I got to sail with that ship for 9 days. And it was a very, very interesting experience. It was the captain in introducing us civilians on board. It's called a Tiger Cruise from Honolulu to San Diego. Said, this is a marine taxi, because there were a lot of Marines on it. It was basically an assault ship. But it was very interesting to see how my son had matured, because he'd made friends with the IT group, and they said, can we have this guy? Because we had our two kids were involved with computers at an early age. We used to have Prime Computer across the way here years ago.
Remember that, yep.
That once a week, they could go play on the Prime Computers. Okay, so our sons, both, are very computer savvy. And I remember one time I'm there, and he got word, he said, we want you to go to the captain's office to help him out. Huh? So, yeah, I could go. So I went up to the captain's quarters. So he was helping the captain with his laptop, because when they got to San Diego, he was going to take off. The captain asked for him by name. My son subsequently got married, finished his education as engineering and law at UMass Lowell, which is where my granddaughter goes now.
Mm-hmm.
So the son's, again, he matured. And I say that the military can be a very maturing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, again, my basic training. There were guys around me crying at night because they couldn't take it. And I said, really, it's not that bad.
And for the record, what is your son's name?
Edward.
Okay, and might as well get the other one in there, the other son.
The other son is William.
Okay.
He lives in the ocean. He used to live in Boston, loved living in Boston. The rents just went up and up and up and up. So he bought a sailboat, and he's living on his sailboat in the Boston Harbor.
Cool. Charlie, is there anything else before we finish up?
Other than military, I'm very much a volunteer. Mm-hmm. I have been a volunteer for the Boston Symphony for 48, I'm in my 49th year. And my wife and I are subscribers. It's our 51st year of subscribing. We're going to a concert tonight.
Oh, good.
So I'm very much into that. When I used to go to Oshkosh, I would marshal airplanes and do things there. I also used to run, Air Venture, as they call it, had a lot of places for people who would present things, selling their book, whatever. And I used to do the audio visual for that. And parking airplanes, and then when they shut down the tent that I used to do the things, then I would just give directions to how to go get lost on the field. So I've done a lot of things, and I'm a treasurer for a small nonprofit. It's been around since 1934. But I'm busy. We mm-hmm. travel a lot. My wife and I have visited 424 national parks. Every state in the country, and every territory. So we have now focusing on travel, mostly in Europe. Mm-hmm. We spent Christmas in Quebec City. So we travel. We do fun things.
Mm. And with that, Charlie Jack, thank you so much for taking part in the Natick Veterans Oral History Project.
Thank you for listening to me.